Welcome to the Science Signaling Podcast for October 29th, 2013. I'm Annalisa Van Hook, and today I'll be joined by Walter Koch to talk about a post-translational modification that can help prevent the death of cardiac myocytes in the context of heart failure. Ischemia is the medical term used to describe the reduction of blood flow that deprives tissues of oxygen and nutrients. Ischemia can cause cells to malfunction and can even lead to cell death. Cardiac ischemia damages cells of the heart muscle and can result in heart failure. Treatments for heart failure focus on signaling by nitric oxide and by G-protein-coupled receptors, or GPCRs. These two pathways are generally considered to be molecularly distinct, but a new study from Walter Koch's group reports that therapies that target these pathways converge on a protein called GRK2. GRK2 is a kinase that acts downstream of GPCRs to mediate the death of cardiac myocytes in response to ischemia. Koch spoke to me from the Temple University School of Medicine in Philadelphia. Hello, Dr. Koch. Welcome to the Science Signaling Podcast.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
What sorts of conditions can cause cardiac ischemia?
In broad terms, it's coronary artery disease, and so most people are familiar with atherosclerosis, where there's actual lipid deposits in the coronary vessels, and that the narrowing of these arteries can lead to blood clots, and you get a heart attack when you have a sufficient blood clot in coronary arteries, where flow of the blood to the cardiac tissue is halted. But coronary arteries can spasm. And in some cases, if you have chronic high blood pressure, that could also lead to potential ischemic events. And so it's the lack of oxygen that causes cardiac myocytes or heart cells to die, essentially, when you have a heart attack. And so that's why it's essential for heart attack victims to get to the hospital and get reperfused, which is procedures usually by catheterization and delivery of certain drugs to open up those blocked coronary arteries as soon as possible to prevent as many cardiac myocytes from dying as possible.
In addition to restoring the blood flow to the heart, how else is heart failure treated?
One of the reasons why heart failure is such a problem these days is because we're doing such a great job of treating myocardial infarction. So compared to 30, 40 years ago, people are living after a heart attack, and it's quite common and highly probable that you will survive a heart attack. But as I said previously, when myocytes die due to lack of oxygen and lack of blood flow, essentially you're left with a heart that has, 20 to 30% less muscle. And so over time, the rest of the heart, which can compensate and pump harder, but over a period of time, that muscle gets weak. And then you have other myocytes dying because they're essentially worn out. So heart failure right now is treated with drugs that can slow the progression of the disease, but they don't reverse the disease. So there really is no cure for heart failure except a cardiac transplant, but there just aren't enough hearts to meet that need. So there is a great need for new therapies, and our work over the last 20 years has been trying to find molecular pathways or mechanisms of the failing heart so we can develop therapies that could actually reverse the disease. Some of the drug treatments that are used currently for heart failure target adrenergic signaling and the neurohormonal system, which are indicative of these G-protein-coupled receptor pathways that we study, such as beta-adrenergic receptor blockers, angiotensin-converting enzyme inhibitors, which lower the levels of angiotensin II, which works on a G-protein-coupled receptor. And then other aspects of treating heart failure are by decreasing blood pressure and relaxing blood vessels so less strain is put on the weak heart. And some of those are nitrate vasodilators, which can increase NO in blood vessels and other tissues.
In this study, you looked at the mechanism by which S-nitrosothiols protect cardiac myocytes from death that's induced by ischemia. How do those compounds protect the myocytes?
Well, S-nitrosothiols are the product of nitric oxide biology in tissues. So nitric oxide and nitric oxide synthases, which can produce an increased NO, nitric oxide, bioavailability, has been shown previously to protect the ischemic heart. However, the exact mechanisms weren't known. The primary hypothesis was that since NO, or nitric oxide, is such a potent vasodilator, that S-nitrosothiols, or increasing NO bioavailability, would essentially protect myocytes by increasing blood flow and getting more oxygen to the myocytes. And so that was the prevailing wisdom. And more recently, the actions of NO through S-nitrosylation of proteins has been shown to be an important aspect of NO biochemistry in vivo. And so S-nitrosylation of protein targets can be viewed as a post-translational modification that can alter the activity of proteins, especially if it's an enzyme. And so our study essentially showed that the actions of S-nitrosothiols on a specific enzyme, the G-protein coupled receptor kinase 2, is an important target in ischemia.
You've shown that S-nitrosothiols play a role in promoting nitrosylation of GRK2, the G-coupled receptor kinase 2. Based on its name, that protein also plays a role in GPCR signaling?
Yes. So GRK2 was discovered in the 1980s, and it was actually purified with the beta adrenergic receptor. So at one time, it used to be called BARC. But, you know, there's several hundred of these G-protein coupled receptors, and so GRK2 can phosphorylate several of them. So its primary role in the heart has always been that it can phosphorylate and shut off beta adrenergic receptors, thus decreasing signaling. And we have studied that property of GRK2 in the failing heart. More recently, we have shown that GRK2 is a pro-death kinase, and it actually facilitates cardiac death in a low oxygen environment like ischemia. And that is important because GRK2 expression and levels of this enzyme are increased in the heart after injury. And this was shown 20 years ago in failing human hearts that GRK2 was significantly increased. So our work over the last 20 years has essentially tried to figure out why GRK2 is upregulated in the failing heart, and what are the consequences of this?
Because GRK2 promotes cell death in the context of ischemia, does its nitrosylation prevent its activity to slow down cell death?
Yes, and that's essentially the home run experiment of this study. So previously, we published in 2007 that the S-nitrosylation of GRK2 is inhibitory. So essentially, that shows that NO, or nitric oxide bioavailability, is an endogenous inhibitor of GRK2. And that not only has an effect on cardiac contractility, which we showed in that paper, but in the current study, we showed that that has specific consequences in ischemic injury of the heart. So if you lose the ability of NO to S-nitrosylate GRK2, you lose this important endogenous feedback regulation to quiet GRK2. And in ischemia, this essentially cuts out the negative influence of NO on GRK2, and GRK2 goes rampant and induces myocyte death.
In that context, then, the nitrosothiols are affecting GPCR signaling.
Absolutely. So the SNO ability to regulate GRK2 is essentially a way to impose regulation on GPCR signaling. And likewise, what we show in this study is that GRK2 can regulate ENOS, or this nitric oxide synthase, so it has a negative influence on NO. So they have a kind of symbiotic negative relationship. They each inhibit one another.
as you mentioned before, the conventional wisdom in treating heart failure patients with drugs that increase nitric oxide signaling is that it would open up the blood vessels to restore blood flow.
Right.
And then now you've shown that nitrosothiols also have this inhibitory effect on GERK2, thus affecting GPCR signaling. Is it that the benefit of those drugs occur through both mechanisms, that you're both increasing blood flow and affecting GPCR signaling?
Yes, I would think that, you know, in the context of human therapy, relaxing blood vessels is very important. And I think our study shows that as a contributing mechanism, the inhibition of GRK2 in cardiac myocytes themselves are important as well. And, you know, our study, although it was in mice, shows that the cardioprotection of NO and S-nitrosothiols is essentially entirely due to the modification of GRK2.
Besides GRK2, there are other GRKs that have been implicated in heart function. Is it possible that other GERKs, in addition to GERK2, as you've described here, are regulated by nitrosylation?
Well, that's possible. We have not specifically looked at other GRKs yet. So the other GRK that has been shown to be critical in heart function is GRK5. We have active studies going on with GRK5 and have shown that it can influence GPCR signaling as well. We have not specifically looked at whether it's regulated by nitrosylation, but that's something that we are planning to do.
It's been fairly recently that people have really started appreciating nitrosylation as a post-translational modification that can regulate protein function.
Absolutely. And then because of this, S-nitrosylation has been shown to be actually increased in the ischemic heart. But the specific targets have been rather broad, where our study shows that a single target can have profound effects.
Thanks, Dr. Koch, for speaking with me about your work.
Anytime. Thank you.
That was Walter Koch, senior author of a paper published in the October 29th issue of Science Signaling by Wang and colleagues. You can read that article online at stke.sciencemag.org. The Science Signaling Podcast is a production of Science Signaling and of the American Association for the Advancement of Science, advancing science, serving society. If you have any questions or comments, you can write to us at sciencesignalingeditors@aaas.org. I'm Annalisa Van Hook, and on behalf of Science Signaling and AAAS, thanks for listening.